Well, it's my pleasure to be here this morning. Is the mic working okay? First of all, I want to thank this church, your pastor and other staff, and the members for your faithful support to the Gideon Ministry. You all, for several years now, I don't remember exactly how many, but for quite a while, you put the Gideons on your missions support list for monthly support. And we greatly appreciate that. I want to let you know just how many missionaries you have. I always like to look at the missionary pictures when I come into a church, and I was looking back through there. So if somebody ever asks you, well, how many missionaries does your church support? I want to revise what you tell them. You don't have to say that look like, I don't know how many, I don't even want to guess. But what you can tell folks if they say, how many missionaries do you support? Tell them about 180,000. Because that's how many Gideons there are worldwide. About 180,000. And you all are, in a very real sense, underwrite that ministry. The Gideon Ministry is very unique in the sense that when churches like Christ Community do support that ministry, not a single penny of those donations go to the administrative overhead of the organization. And I honestly don't know any organization that can tell you that. Every organization has overhead. And unfortunately, there are some things that people give to, they think they're giving to a good cause, and if they only knew that about 90 cents out of every dollar they give goes to the overhead of that organization, they might not be so thrilled about it. But the organization itself is actually underwritten by the Gideons themselves. You actually pay annual dues to be a Gideon. And so our Gideons and our wives, we pay dues to be members of the organization, and those dues cover, there is overhead. Certainly a lot of overhead in an organization as large as the Gideons International. Headquarters is in Nashville, Tennessee, and there are actually several hundred employees there and then scattered around the world. And all that is paid for by dues. So again, thank you so much for your support. Back in 2016, a salesman named Bill checked into a hotel in Cincinnati, Ohio. His circumstances had pretty much led him to dire straits in his life. He'd been married 24 years, and his wife had left him and revealed to him that she had had several affairs throughout the years. Three of his four children had gotten involved in drugs and addictions and gang activity. And then 2 weeks before that day, he'd been told by his boss that the company was downsizing and he was losing his job. Bill was truly at the end of his rope. And he checked into that hotel intending to take his life. He carried a pistol with him, and he got into the hotel, got to the room. He opened up the drawer of the nightstand to get out a pad and a pencil to write a suicide note to leave. And when he opened that drawer, guess what he saw there? There was a Gideon Bible. And something drew him to that Bible. Bill had never been in church since childhood, at Vacation Bible School. The last time he'd ever been in a church. So he didn't know much, obviously. He wasn't church like we are. Didn't know much about the Word or God. But he took that Gideon Bible and he opened it and began to read. And if you've ever taken the time, and I know many of you have, when you open those Bibles and look in the front of them, you know, because they're really designed for people that aren't churched, In the front covers, there's topics and things like, you know, where to go for comfort, where to go for depression, and it gives the Bible references and the page numbers, because most unchurched people would have a hard time looking up John 3:16, for example. So Bill found himself looking through that Bible and reading, and after several hours had passed, the Holy Spirit began to quicken his heart, and he recognized his need of a Savior. And he prayed and asked Christ to forgive him of all the sins he had committed, the life that he had lived, and asked Jesus to save him. Well, literally, as he tells the story, tears began to roll down his face, and he left that hotel alive, went back to his home. A month later, he had a new job. He never reconciled with his wife, but he did reconcile with the rest of his family, his children. And today, he's serving God in a local church in Cincinnati. And he wrote a letter to the Gideons that I've kind of paraphrased for you just now. And as you might imagine, we get thousands of letters like that. People writing in and sharing their testimonies of how the Lord has touched their lives in many ways and got a hold of them because of their contact in the highways and the byways of life with God's Word. It was interesting. I don't know whether this was intentional, but I don't know if you paid attention. I sure noticed there seemed to be a lot of emphasis in the preliminaries today on the Word. Brother, when you shared some special things about the Word, and the overhead there, it's gone now, but it had something about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is the actual foundation for everything in life. Everything. It's a guidebook for us. And so, interestingly enough, that was in June of 2016 when Bill checked into that hotel. 1 month before then, the Gideons had just completed what we call a metropolitan scripture blitz. And in addition to just the everyday, daily activities that Gideons go about in placing the Word of God into the highways and the byways of the world, several times a year, there is a focused effort in certain cities, both in the United States and in other countries, to do what we call a scripture blitz. And in that scenario, dozens and sometimes hundreds of Gideons will come together in one city and literally flood that city, trying to hit every hotel room in the whole city to refresh the Bibles in that city. We call it scripture blitzes. 1 month before Bill checked into that hotel, there had been a scripture blitz in Cincinnati. And no doubt, some Gideon had walked into that room and made sure that that room had a Bible in it. When we go into the hotels, we looked first of all to see if there's a Bible in there. We're probably also one of the few organizations that rejoice when our products are stolen. we're glad to see when we go into a hotel that there's a missing Bible. Because hopefully and prayerfully that means that somebody has taken that Bible because they didn't have one. And it's going to potentially reach their life. But anyway, we go into the rooms and check the rooms, first of all, for missing Bibles. We also check them, unfortunately, for damage. Sometimes there'll be some things, people will write in there, sometimes just malicious. But we go into the rooms and we check that. No doubt you have seen those hotel Bibles in rooms. So who are the Gideons? That's an interesting question. I want to let you know, since you've been so faithful to support, most of you kind of have an idea about who the Gideons are and what we do, but I want to update you on that. I remember a funny story about a Gideon who was doing one of these hotel checks, and he had a cart, and he was walking down the hallway, and he had the Bibles in there, and there were a couple of elderly ladies that were walking down the hallway, and they asked him what he was doing, and he said, "Well, I'm a member of the Gideons, and I'm checking these rooms and replacing Bibles." So they nodded and understood, and as he walked on by, he heard one of them say to the other, "I always wondered what a Gideon looked like." We're not aliens from space or anything like that, just regular people. To be a Gideon, first of all, the requirements are, obviously, you have to be a born-again believer. You have to be a member of an active church. If you chose, and I'm going to, at the end of the service, invite some of you maybe to think about being a Gideon But if you do that, you know, you have to sign a document that basically goes through the fundamentals of the faith, and that you attest to that. But you also have to have the recommendation of your pastor. You know, you can't be a Gideon unless you're an active church member. We're pretty exclusive about that. Believer and an active church member. Our key verse. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will. I'm just gonna turn to one scripture that I'm gonna have you get to. I'll use some other scripture, but I want to share with you. We're talking about the Word of God and how foundational it is to our lives. Turn to Isaiah 55:11 with me. Isaiah 55:11. Now, undoubtedly, as an organization whose lifeblood is the distribution of God's Word, there's a lot of great verses that support our ministry, but this is probably the key verse for the Gideon ministry, is Isaiah 55:11. And the Word of God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Gideons are in the business of sending God's word. And we claim the promise that God's word doesn't return void. It's an encouragement, no doubt, to get testimonies like the one I just shared with you of Bill. But the greatest thing that the Gideons do is just being faithful to be where God has placed them individually. Because it's a lay organization. We have to fire members all the time. And the reason we have to fire them is because they go into ministry. And you can't be a Gideon and be in full-time Christian service. You know, we're a lay organization. We've had people in the Putnam County camp that got called into ministry and became pastors. Had to resign from the Gideons. So it's a lay organization. And our primary objective, number one, is to see men, women, boys, and girls receive Christ as their Savior. And we do that through personal testimony and personal distribution of God's Word. The Gideon ministry, now before, this is pre-pandemic. We're looking forward to getting back to this level. But I want to share something with you that's kind of hard to grasp when you think about it. Pre-pandemic, worldwide, the Gideons were distributing 1 million Bibles every 5 days around the world. That's a lot of Bibles. Let me get, you know, that's beyond comprehension. I can't fathom how many Bibles a million Bibles looks like. But this I can grasp. That equates to 2 copies of God's Word every second. So think about that. Every second, 2 copies of God's Word is being distributed, and it's always hand-to-hand combat. We don't just ship a box of Bibles somewhere. Every one of those Bibles is given personally by a Gideon or a Gideon's wife, and whenever possible, with a testimony to share that. We do that in a lot of familiar places. One that I mentioned already, you're most familiar with, is hotels. How many veterans do we have in the room here? I know some of you are veterans. When you were inducted in the military, did you get a Gideon Bible? Anybody remember that? Occasionally, they're missed, but one of the things the Gideons do, a large part of the ministry is giving testaments to military folks. Schools, hospitals, jails, emergency service personnel, doctor's offices. You've probably seen Gideon Bibles in doctor's offices. One of the testimonies that impacted me, one of the first testimonies I heard as a new guy, I joined in 1987, as Steve said. And one of the first testimonies that I remember reading as a Gideon was from a soldier named Joe Paduani. And Joe's testimony, I'm paraphrasing, he was in Vietnam, and he was a gunner on a helicopter. And on one of the missions they were on, his helicopter took a hit from artillery in the jungle, and the pilot was forced to crash land. So they landed in the jungle, and they all survived. All the men on the helicopter survived, and they could hear the Viet Cong coming through the jungle toward them. And Joe shared that, you know, this was an anticipation if you served in that role, and he and his fellow soldiers had already planned on what they were going to do if this exact situation ever happened. And they had made a pact among themselves that they would not allow themselves to be captured. They were not gonna be POWs. Too many horror stories I'd heard. And so these soldiers had actually made a pact that they were gonna take their lives before they would let themselves be captured. And so in a scene so surreal that it will almost be like a Hollywood movie, these soldiers pulled their service revolvers and were preparing to take their lives as the Viet Cong came through the jungle toward them. And just then, they heard coming over the hilltops the sound of a helicopter. And again, you couldn't write this script. This helicopter swooped in, lowered the ladder, the soldiers climbed up to safety and pulled away in the nick of time. And Joe says, as he got up into the chopper, a soldier reached down and grabbed his hand to pull him in, and they swept away. And Joe looked over at that soldier and said, "Thank you for saving my life." And the soldier reached into his pocket and pulled out a Gideon Testament and said, "I didn't save your life, but Jesus Christ can." And reached him that testament. And before they got back to the base, Joe had gone, again, another thing in these Gideon Bibles is a plan of salvation. And in the front fly are Bible helps, and the back fly is basically the Romans Road. Many of you are familiar with what we call the Romans Road. It's Bible verses that someone can use to help them understand the gospel. And before they got back to the base, Joe had read that plan of salvation. He had prayed to ask Christ to sign him, and there's a place in there for them to actually sign. People can sign that Gideon Testament to say, "On this date, I accept the Christ as my Savior." So by the time they got back to the base, Joe had entered into the kingdom of God, literally. And the war ended. He went back home. Joe had been raised a Catholic. And Joe led his wife to the Lord, led both sets of parents to the Lord, and led all their children to the Lord. And what's so special to me about that testimony is not long after I joined the Gideons in 1987, I attended the West Virginia State Gideon Convention. And one of the things that we do at our conventions is we have people come in live, like these testimonies I'm sharing with you, and share their Gideon testimony. And guess who the state had for their keynote testimony speaker at that first state convention I went to? It was Joe Pagiani. One of the first testimonies that I had read, and there he shows up at that Gideon convention. You see, God's word doesn't return void. I want to share something with you. This is not necessarily a Gideon testimony, and by all means, we Gideon speakers are not, we're not called preachers and evangelists. Like I said, you can't be a Gideon if you're in full-time ministry. But I do want to share something very practical with you that has to do with the Word of God. I want to tie that in. And some of you may have heard this taught before, and if you had, then it'll be a refresher to you. But I want to leave you something that you can take away today with a practical application regarding God's Word. I want to make an analogy to your hand. You know, we have a unique tool in our hands. We've got these four fingers and we've got a thumb. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but I've got a friend that lost his thumb in a power tool accident, so he didn't have a thumb. Have you ever thought about how hard it would be to do the things that you do in everyday life without a thumb? That thumb, that opposing thumb, is we use it for everything that we do almost. Now, yeah, there are some things we can do, but it would not be very practical for us if we didn't have that thumb. I want you to think of your hand. I want to give you some things that think of your hand as this, okay? First of all, think of your index finger as hearing God's word. We hear God's word. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So a very key element of how we practice applying the word of God to our lives is simply by hearing it. That's usually the first way that the word of God gets into the ears of a non-believer. You know, very few non-believers just pick up their Bible routinely and read it, unless they happen to go into a hotel to commit suicide. So hearing is a key element. Another key element is reading. We hear the word of God, we read the word of God. The Bible says this, blessed is he that readeth and keeps those things that are written therein. So how do we absorb the word of God? By hearing, by reading, and then our third finger, our third aspect is in studying God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Acts 17:11 says, search the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. So we study. Now, by the way, if you want to be the best Christian you can be, you've got to apply all of these things in your life. So we hear the word of God, we read the word of God, we study the word of God. Fourthly, we memorize the word of God. Now, if you're like me, that's way, way harder than it was about 60 years ago. I can remember to this day my mom. She was a sweet Christian lady. Everything that I am today, by the grace of God, I lay at the feet of my Christian mother. I can remember her, you know, teaching me as a young boy, say, now you need to memorize as much of the Bible as you can, because the older you get, the harder it'll be to do that. Like most kids, that was like, what, water on a duck's back. Now I really appreciate that. But Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we hear the word of God, we read the word of God, we study the word of God, we memorize the word of God. That's four fingers. Still got a thumb left. Guess what the thumb represents in this analogy of God's word? Meditating, because that goes with all four of the others. So we use that meditation of God's word, whether we're reading or hearing or studying or memorizing, we meditate on God's word. Psalm 1, a very familiar passage, says, in his law doth he meditate, when? Day and night. We meditate upon God's word. The ministry of the Gideons is a pretty special ministry. I consider it a real blessing to have been able to have served in the Gideon ministry for this long. I never thought I'd be a Gideon, never planned on it. But like most people that joined the Gideons, I was invited to be a member by another Gideon. So I joined as a young man, and my wife and I have been thoroughly blessed by the ministry down through all the years. There was a young man that was a student at Boston University, and he was walking to class one day across campus, and there were some official-looking men standing around at various corners of sidewalks and things, and they had boxes on the ground, and he wondered, what's going on here? And as he walked by, one of those men reached out to him and offered him a Bible. And he said, sir, would you like to have a New Testament? Well, he was a Catholic, so he knew a little bit about what the Bible was about, so he took it, didn't think anything about it, dropped it in his backpack, got back to his room, and tossed that Bible in the back of his closet. He was a freshman, by the way, first semester there. And as happens all too often, very quickly on in his college career, he got involved with the wrong crowd, got involved in drugs, got involved in just doing all kinds of things other than going to class, and basically flunked out by the end of his first semester. So he was packing up to go home permanently at the end of the semester, packing up the things. He had a duffel bag he was throwing things in, and as he came to cleaning out the last things in his closet, there was that New Testament that had been covered up by who knows what, clothes and shoes. And he picked up that New Testament and tossed it in the trash can and finished packing up. And for, as he says, for some unknown reason, we know what the reason was, but before he left to go take his last things down, something compelled him to get that Bible. So he grabbed that Bible out of the trash can and dropped it in his duffel bag and went home. Things didn't get any better. When he got home, he continued in this new lifestyle. Things got so bad that his parents actually kicked him out of the house. So he was homeless, just staying with friend to friend. But when he left home, he hadn't even unpacked that duffel bag when he got home from college, but he grabbed that duffel bag. And about 3 or 4 months after that, he again had just about gotten to the end of his rope. He was very suicidal, stayed high on drugs constantly. And he was looking for something in his back, in his duffel bag. He was pulling things out, and here came that Gideon New Testament that he had received from that Gideon on campus. And he, again, didn't understand why he did this, but he sat down and opened up that New Testament, and in that front cover, as I told you, began looking at this index of scripture passages to read in times of need. And he sat and for hours began studying and reading through this New Testament. And by the time that was all done, he too had accepted Christ as his Savior. This young man went on to turn his life around, and today he's a pastor of a local church in Boston. You see, God's Word doesn't return void. Let me list some things for you that you can do. You're already a blessing to the Gideon ministry just by your financial support, and no doubt because we are one of your ministries that you support, I'm sure we get prayed for often. And that's probably the most important thing that you can do. Let me tell you something. You can just take this to the bank. Any ministry that is putting out 1 million copies of God's Word every 5 days is gonna encounter afflictions and battles. Satan is not at all pleased when God's Word goes out like that. We're very fortunate here in Putnam County, not true in most places. Doors are closing like you would not believe to the distribution of God's Word. Motels and hotels are daily almost. I read another hotel or motel, not so much in West Virginia, but closing the doors to letting us in. One of the things that we do is elementary and high schools. And I want you to continue to pray. We are blessed in Putnam County. I want to give a shout out to the Putnam County Board of Education. If you know anybody on the Putnam County Board of Education, thank them for allowing the Gideons to still put Bibles in our schools. What they have done here in Putnam County is, instead of making a carte blanche decision, the board kind of not totally washed their hands of it, but they've made it a decision in every school. So every principal and every school has the say-so in whether the Gideons can distribute Bibles. And we get in almost every school. Occasionally, since I've been a Gideon since 1987, there'll be a new principal come in who's anti-Christian. And we'll call that school. We distribute Bibles in the schools every May. That's the time frame that we put Bibles into the schools. So we start calling the schools around the 1st of May. And every once in a while, we'll get a principal that will say, no. And so what do? You pray. That's all you can do. The most, I guess the one that sticks in my mind the most is, I think the school's is Eastwood Elementary over here on Route 60. I think it's Eastwood or Eastbrook, I'm not sure, but there's an elementary school there. We had a principal there that didn't let us in for 8 years, and we just continued to pray. I would go to churches like this and say, pray for that school that we can get in. It was 8 years, but guess what? That principal moved on somewhere else. We got a new principal there, and the next year we called, and they said, sure, come on in. So we're blessed. Continue to pray for that. Another thing that we would covet your prayers in is simply workers. You know, the Bible tells us that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. You know, the announcement this morning saying, check the sign-up list back there. We've got some openings. We need help. You know, I don't know of a single church that would say, bless the Lord, we have every single opportunity in our church is filled with people ready to do the work. We make an announcement almost every Sunday in my church saying we need help in the nursery, we need help mowing grass, we need help for this. It's the same thing with the Gideon ministry. What we do with those 1 million Bibles that we place, that's limited only by the funds. Remember I told you that all the money that comes in for the Gideons goes to for Bibles. And so what keeps us from doing 1.5 million Bibles every week? Two things. It's the money to print those Bibles, and it's the laborers to go out into the highways and byways and put them out. So the 80-20 rule applies. And I'm not saying this to disparage anybody in the Putnam County camp, but we have a camp, Gideon camp here in Putnam County, and we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of about 20 members in that camp, and about 5 or 6 of the members do most of the work. That's true in most organizations, isn't it? So we need folks. You don't have to be a speaker. If you're intimidated to be a Gideon because you think I couldn't stand up like Brother Rich and talk in front of people, you know what? There's all kinds of things to do in the Gideon ministry above and beyond speaking in churches. We need church speakers. But we just need people to go into hotels and check the rooms. We need people to go into a fifth grade class in elementary school and pass out Bibles. So as you pray for this ministry, pray for laborers and pray that Satan would be hindered from the evil doings that he tries to do nationwide and internationally. I do want to say one thing as I close. I noticed one of your missionaries is Gary Johnson. Gary's a personal friend of mine. I've known Gary for many, many years. So you know probably a lot about Gary's ministry. I told you we have 180,000 Gideons around the world, and we're in 200 countries and provinces. That's probably about 95% of the world. And in most of those countries, unlike here in the United States, The Christian men that are involved in that ministry are just typical residents of that country. Very few of them have transportation. So when the Gideons, for example, in Kenya, Africa, where Gary has served for so many years, when they get shipments of Bibles in, do you know how they have to take those Bibles out into the schools? And by the way, the demand for Bibles in most of the third world countries is unbelievable. And there's no restrictions on getting into the schools. So how do these local Gideons get these Bibles out to these schools and things? Most of the time it's on bicycles. They lit up their bicycles. Well, Brother Gary heard about some of the people that he knew there in the area where he was ministering, these Gideon men using bicycles. You know what Gary did? He volunteered to be their chauffeur and driver. So Gary has been responsible for thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles getting into the area in Kenya, Africa, by driving the local Gideons out into where they needed to go to help expedite getting those Bibles out. So if you see Gary next time, tell him thank you for helping the Gideons in Kenya, Africa. Well, again, I want to thank you guys for the faithfulness of this church.
I do want you to know this. We covet your prayers, but I want you to know that the Gideons pray for your church and your pastor as well. We have weekly prayer meetings, and one of the things that we do in our weekly prayer meetings is pray for the pastors in our local area. Gideons are organized mostly by county. In some of the more populous counties like Kanawha County, there can be more than one camp, but we have mostly one camp in West Virginia for every county. I want to share one thing with you, and I'm going to close. I don't know, I got distracted by breakfast this morning. I don't know why that is, but I walked in the door, Terry met me, and the first thing he said is, "We got to get back here and get some food." And so I'm walking through the vestibule, and normally when I walk through the vestibule, I pay attention because we have something called Gideon card racks. And I got distracted and didn't notice whether you have one here or not. Does anybody know if you have a Gideon card rack here? You must not, because nobody knows about it. Well, a very, very neat part of the ministry that we have is something called the Gideon Memorial Bible Plan. And we give churches racks that they can put in the foyer or somewhere in the church that's got free cards that you can pick up. I've got an example of one right here. We always are careful about this. So I don't want to insult anybody that's in the business of selling cards. Is anybody here in the business of selling cards? I am, but I don't have to worry about that because I'm the speaker. But there's several cards. This particular card says "In memory of." We make these cards available. They're free. And so, for example, this is the most popular one. There's "In recognition of," "Thinking of you," you know, "Hope you get well," Christmas cards. But basically, here's the way this works. You can get this free card, and you can send it to someone. And in this, it says, this is an in-memory card. So this is to be used if someone passes away, maybe the anniversary of a death, when you know somebody's thinking about a lost loved one. But basically, it allows you to donate Gideon Bibles in memory of someone. And you can write in here, "In memory of Fred Smith." Hope there's not a Fred Smith in here. "In memory of Fred Smith, and you know, we, my wife and I, who you put your name, we donated, and you pick the number, X number of Gideon Bibles in memory of your loved one." And then when you pick these up out of this rack, there's three pieces. There's the card that I just showed you. There's the envelope to mail it in, and then there's an envelope to mail to the Gideons for your donation. And the cards are free. So I don't know if you ladies probably know this. Most of the men wouldn't have a clue on how much greeting cards cost these days, but they're not cheap. And so for about the same price that you would pay for a card, you can donate a Bible and have the card free. And you can do that for graduations. There's all kinds of things. So I'll be speaking to the pastor and see if we can get one of these card racks in your church for you. But it's a great way to support the Gideon ministry and be a blessing. You know, when my wife and I get far greater thank yous and heartfelt things when we donate Bibles in memory of someone that died than if we sent them flowers. Certainly, that's a nice thought to send somebody flowers, but if we donate some Bibles in memory of someone, those Bibles are going to be sowing seeds for eternity. And being the seeds that could reap testimonies like some of these testimonies I've shared with you this morning. Well, thank you guys so much. I'm not sure who's going to close. I'm going to close in prayer, and then whoever's going to close the service can come up. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of sharing this morning with the folks here at Christ Community Church. Thank you for their faithfulness in being a testimony in this community and for the work that they do here. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness in supporting the Gideon ministry. I pray this morning that as we go from here, that our hearts will be stirred, Lord, anew for the importance of your word. Thank you that you have provided it to us. It's God-breathed, literally. And Lord, may we truly use it for the foundation of everything that we do in our lives. Again, thank you for this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.